Good morning, boys and girls. Thank you for coming up. So today, I want to tell a story of when I was 7 years old and my family took a trip to Canada. We visited a city called Montreal. And the story I really want to talk about is one of the places that we went and visited. And this place we visited was this really, really awesome museum. And they had pictures, and they had statues. But the thing that really interested me was this really cool thing right in the middle of this giant room. And what would happen, they would drop these little metal balls, and they would spin around and around and around. And they would just keep going forever, or so it seemed to me. So while I was watching, I watched it two or three times, and each time probably lasted about 10 minutes. So I was happy. My dad was standing with me for a little while. My mom and my sister were wandering around in another area. And after we watched it a couple times, my dad said, "Matt, let's go. We gotta go. We're heading this way. I said, one more time. I just wanna watch it one more time. That's all." And I thought my dad was still standing right behind me, but he had actually turned around and walked away. So I'm watching these metal balls go round and round, and they finally dropped. And I turned around, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready to go." "Dad? Dad?" No one's there. There's all these strangers, and I'm in a different country. And I'm looking around, I don't see my mom, I don't see my dad, I don't see my sister, and I started to get scared. I'm looking around, and I start walking around, and I said, "Well, I know I'm supposed to stay in one spot, but I'm gonna go look for him." So I start wandering around this museum, and this is a big museum, and I can't find him anywhere. So I start getting more and more scared, and I stop, and I'm thinking, "What do I do? What do I do?" And I stopped, and I prayed to Jesus really fast. I said, "Dear Jesus, please help me know what to do. Please help me to find my parents. I don't know where they are. I don't know where I am. Please help me find them." And I kept looking, and I got really scared. I started crying, and I just sat down in the middle of the floor, and I was just crying. And this lady comes up to me, and she's like, "Are you lost? Are you okay?" And I said, "I don't know where my parents are." And she took me over to this big desk, and she said, "What are your parents' names?" And I'm crying so hard, I can barely tell the lady my parents' names. But I finally got it out, and over the intercom, they say, "Well, Brad and Tammy Hunter, please come to the front desk." And 5 minutes later, my parents walk up, and I'm so happy. I run to them, and I won't let go. And they said, "Matt, what happened? Where'd you go? Why weren't you with us?" And I said, "Well, I was still watching that really cool thing where you left me." And they said, "Well, we asked you to come." I said, "Well, I prayed to Jesus that I would find you, and he answered my prayers, and here you are." So remember, when you get scared, when you need help, God is always there, and he is always ready to help you. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats now.
Let's sing a couple more songs together.
Draw me close to you. Jesus sings these words to you now. Of Jesus is where we ultimately want to be, don't we? So as we ask him to draw near, he is saying, I love when you draw near me. We love each other's embrace. This is going to be a song entitled Thy Word, and there's some parts that you will recite and I'll recite, and so we'll just pay attention to that. When it says congregation read, you'll read, and so let's just read this together when it's the appropriate time. Why don't you read these words with me? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thy ordinances, for thy himself has taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding. Indeed, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings which you are able to give you, the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ.
These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life.
The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
Amen. We grew up a poor family. Everything we seemed to do, we got a taste of what it was like to maybe have a few dollars in our home. So it was about every other year I got to go to a Christian school, to Orangewood Academy. Then the next year I went to public school. My brother went to Orangewood Academy. And we just kept rotating like that until I became a sophomore at Orangewood Academy. I was able to go every year. We had the churches sponsoring all six children, it seemed, over the years. And so it's because of those offerings that you contribute that afford and help families who just don't have the means to go to Christian school to do it. And it raises almost $20,000 a year, your little nickels and dimes and dollar bills. So thank you for that. Another reason I know we just weren't the wealthiest family is that I wanted so badly to go to summer camp. So badly. And I remember one year the Pathfinder Club said, if you just sell boxes and boxes and boxes and then a few more boxes and boxes and boxes of candy-covered peanuts door to door and to your friends and family and to your everyone, just everyone you can find in front of this Alpha Beta Market, wherever you can sell this candy, if you sell like 7 million boxes, it seemed, you can go to summer camp at some discount or something. And it was a lot of work, but I was able to go when I was, I think, 11 or 12 years of age to Pine Springs Ranch as a camper. And oh my goodness, I just had the best time. I so wanted to be there, and I was there. And my counselor was a man by the name of Maurice Woods. Maurice Woods was a tall black gentleman who had just come from the military. Imagine me and this tall guy. He came and just stood so upright. And he just was so composed, such that he just, everything he did seemed to be on purpose, you know, just every movement, everything he said, just, it just was right there. I mean, we were just listening. What, Mr. Woods, what do you want us to do? And just the lessons he knew about nature, the stories he would share about being in the military, and just all of the things that he knew about. One time he laid out all of his clothes and other toiletries and things on the bed, and he showed us this little suitcase, and he said, watch this. And we all stood around in amazement as he put all of that was on his bed, all of the pants and the shirts and the toothbrushes and belts and shoes, and he packed his suitcase with all of that. Apparently in the military you had to get all that in there. We were so amazed. I tell you, for much of that week, the other campers and I, we just stood in amazement at this man who just knew so much. One thing about Maurice Woods, he just did some special things with us. Like, we were the only cabin that were marching down to line call. We were standing at parade rest and saluting. We were marching. When we did the marching drill, when we raised the flag, oh, it was sharp.
And we were your left or right, all the way down the cadence. It was just awesome. Mr. Woods, he was just amazing. We did not want to disappoint Mr. Woods. That afternoon, I think it was around Wednesday, he said, after the movie night tonight, we're going on a hike. The entire cabin. And we were looking forward to movie over. Let's get to the cabin. And we all got our things together. We had our canteens. We put our hiking shoes on as best we had, hiking boots. And we were all ready. Had our jackets on. And when he said, fall in, we fell in. We got into line. We knew exactly where to stand. We knew exactly to go into the parade rest position. And we were ready. And he sounded off, okay, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? Do you have that? And yes, 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 yes. Canteens. We've got some warm socks. We've got this. We've got, yes, sir. And then he said, flashlights. Yes, sir. Hold them out in front. Whatever he said, we all held our flashlights out. And we turned them on. He wanted to see that they were working good. They're all working great. And he took from a pocket or from somewhere, he took out a pillowcase and he said, deposit your flashlights into this. And he started walking down in front of the line there, and we had to take our flashlights and put them inside of this duffel bag thing, and we had no flashlights. Well, this wasn't going to be fun at all. We're going on a hike without a flashlight. Canteen, yes. Warm socks, yes. Hiking shoes, yes. Mr. Woods, we need our flashlight. You won't need a flashlight. And I'm telling you, no kidding. It was a less night. We're going on a hike with our friend here. He's wearing dark clothes. He's dark himself. And we're to follow him up behind Cabin Navajo, up on this large granite boulder, a huge rock. And we are following him and just hanging on to each other and trying to get up this side of this boulder. It was not easy. We were bumping into each other. We were touching things that we didn't want to touch, and we weren't getting the footholds and the finger holes that we wanted. And he was just quiet and just saying, follow me. And we're doing our best to stay up with him. And I remember us up on the top of this huge rock. And he said, we're going to be going in some unfamiliar territory. And we had been up on top of this rock once, and so it was a little bit easier to navigate to get up there on a moonless. It was really dark. He gathered us around on top of that rock, and he said, you have no flashlights. It's a little difficult here in the darkness, isn't it? Said, yeah. Wish we had a light. Well, I wish you had let us bring our flashlights. Nope, no need for your flashlight tonight. And he reached into his, and it was like five times like this, at least to me, a little 11 or 12 year old. He had a flashlight that the neck was, I mean, it was really long and all these huge batteries, and it was so bright. This is the largest flashlight that I could get a hold of this morning, but it was so bright. And he said, this is the light that we will follow. This is the light that we will follow. And he had a worship with us that night. He talked to us about how important it was that when we lived in such a dark world, that there was a person called Satan who was the prince of darkness. And that though we had difficulty getting up to this spot, we would not have difficulty as long as we were to follow his light. And that Jesus is the light in the darkness of this world. And if we'll just follow the light that Jesus shows on the path ahead of us, he will lead us and direct us. This is not new truth to you, but it stuck with me for all these years. But that there's danger, there's cliffs, and there's cactus, and there are rattlesnakes, and there are other types of things out there in the darkness. And if we try to use our own flashlights, it might be that your flashlight will go out. You might stumble and fall and the light will go out, or the light might cause you to want to have some interest in maybe going that direction, which would be the wrong direction, but that the light that Jesus has will never fail you. It will always point you in the right direction. And that so often when we find ourselves off course, it's because we haven't followed the light, and that Jesus and his Father God are the light that lead us into truth and lead us safely along this road in this dark, dark, dark world. I haven't forgotten that lesson from Maurice. And we took a hike. And there were times in which I wish I hadn't had my own light, my flashlight back in that gunny sack back there. I wish I could have maybe gone this, but you know what? As long as I was following his light, I was on exactly where he wanted me to be. It almost forced me to be where he wanted me to be. I couldn't go this way because I was unsure of where I was going. But his beam was always at the right spot. And sometimes he would point out dangers and say, oh, you want to be careful over there and you want to be careful over here. When he turned on that light for the first time, we went from darkness to brilliance. And I think about that even when we talk about knowing Jesus. When you come to know Jesus and look at his beauty and his brightness and his purity, do you realize how pathetically dark you and I are? For the wages of sin is death, and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in a dark world, not one of us. You're lying to yourself. The Bible says you're a fool if you think that you are without sin. Everyone. And the darkness, it's either on or off. You know, you have dimmer switches. We have a couple of at our house, and I kind of like the dimmer switches. But you know what? Either you are in the brightness of God Almighty, or you are in the darkness. You're in the brightness of God Almighty, or in the darkness of Satan himself. There's no dimmer switch. You're either on this side of the fence or that side of the fence. You're either for me or against me. All those wild animals and all of those objects that vie for our attention, the world, all of its glitter and glamour and fame and fortune. These are distractions to the light, the brightness of God. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. He goes on to say, then live in the light of the Lord. It says, live as children of light. If the light is afforded you, if the light is available to you, then are you not a fool not to enjoy the presence of the light, not to participate in it, not to walk in it? As the song is, it's a lamp to my feet. It's a path. It's a lamp to my path. It's you give it to me. It's there. It's available. How foolish it would be to have that energy there of God's presence and to not take advantage of it to direct our lives. Sometimes we scratch our head and say, God, how did I find myself in this situation? Because we've tried with our little pen lights. We've tried to do something with our flashlights. When this is available to you. It's there for you and for me, and we're using these. And our batteries fail us, and we wonder, well, God, how did I get into this place? Maurice Wood, he had a great flashlight, but guess what? Maurice Wood made some choices later in his life where he spent some time in prison. A man that told me about the light, and yet he didn't heed his own counsel. And sometimes you and I, we don't heed our own counsel. We know that that's the light. I didn't know till this morning when I Googled, I wanted to know, Maurice Woods, where are you now? I want to write you and meet you on Facebook. He's a Bible teacher. He's my counselor. Music instructor. But he made some choices in his life and ended up serving some time for it. So he used his own light. 2 Corinthians 4:6, but God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. 1 John 1:7, if we choose to walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Jesus said, you know, it breaks my heart to see my children, to see my creation, to see anyone in the darkness. Because see, I can't be in the darkness. There is no sin in me. I am righteous. I am pure. I am holy. So I can't come there, but you can come here to the light. And so he calls on you and I and all of his children to go and call them out of darkness into light. Acts 26:17-18, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, darkness, to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified in faith, by faith in me. God hates darkness. God can't cheat. He can't steal. He can't hurt. He can't deceive. He can't misrepresent truth. God is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. And we need to turn to his light. Because he says the darkness separates us. And I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. I want to hold you close. And I can't go there. I need you to come here. You need to come into the light. Your iniquities have separated you, Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities, your sins have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. You can't see me. We can't be in the presence together. And not one of us, the wages of sin is death. You know, God is patient with us, but we'll suffer the consequences of our evil ways. Some of us suffer the consequences because we bring these things on to ourselves. And we live in a sinful world, and sometimes things happen to us. And we had no effect on it. I mean, it didn't happen. Here we have Raylin and Ann Anderson, you know. They're at a funeral today because Raylin's sister's son was killed in a fiery crash in Palm Springs last week. We don't know what happened, but he ran into a palm tree at 2:30 in the morning, and the car exploded, and he was killed. And so we need to suffer the consequences of, I don't know, an accident or a willingness on his part not to take the necessary precautions or to do something that's not really a good choice or make a poor choice. I don't know. But we all have to suffer the consequences, and sometimes the choices that we make affect ourselves and the people that we love. And God is saying, I know there's going to be accidents, but there are some things, some choices that you're making that are going to hurt you. And it troubles me. It pains me. Come. Come. I can offer you all sorts of advice. And then on top of it, I can offer you forgiveness for when you do take your eyes off of me, when your batteries run out, when you choose to do things your way and not my way, when you take your eyes off of the light, I will forgive you. And I will go and I'll be in search of you and I will bring you. Just call my name. I will not let you down. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Colossians 1:22, he has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body. Because see, he did this, he willingly went to the cross, he paid the penalty, the price for your sin and my sin. Without blood, there is no forgiveness. But he did this so we can offer you, when you make a dumb mistake, when you turn your eyes off of him, when you suffer the consequences of the sins around you, he says, I paid the price, and I forgive you. Come into the light, and I'll take care of it. That's God's part. He did everything. He's righteous, he's holy, he paid the price, and he's willing to forgive us. That's God's part. Our part is just responding to his invitation. For us to go toward the light, to ask God to illuminate our lives with his glory and his presence. Because it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins and say, God, we're sorry, we've turned our eyes off, we've taken our eyes off of your light. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Does it trouble you when you fall short of God's glory? Or is it just, well, we all make mistakes. Oh, it was just a little white lie. Oh, it's just no big deal. Who did it really hurt? I mean, after all, well, we just know that the smallest of any sin is what nailed Jesus to the cross. Large or small, they're all sins. They're all troublesome, and the reason that Jesus had to come. So does your heart, does it get heavy? Do you feel remorse? Do you just say, God, I wish I could take it all back again? Psalm 25, 17, and 18, David did. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Do your sins cause you anguish? Are you troubled by them? Can you not simply put your head on the pillow at night when you have all of these sins of the day and the weeks and the months, the heartache that you have brought to yourself and to those you love and to his world? Does not your heart, isn't it troubled? It says, the troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress. Look upon them and take away all of my sins. Take them all away. This troubles me. Psalm 86, 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Does it trouble you? Now, we have a little video that I want to show you in just a second here. You can boot it up, but let me set this up. I was shown this. My wife shared this with me the other day. This little girl's name is Madeline Ross, and many of you may have seen this, but there are some television shows, some guy that wants parents after Halloween, after the children have worked so hard at gathering all the candy at the mall or at school parties or wherever it might be, door to door. You're supposed to, your assignment by this show on TV is to video record you lying to your children and telling them that you have eaten all of their Halloween candy. And this show then wants to broadcast across America and the world the reaction to you having lied to the child. Some of these children, if you watch some of these clips on YouTube, they just can't believe it, and they start these temper tantrums. They, what did you do? And they'll say words, and they'll say thoughts, and I mean, they come out, they get on the ground, and they hit, and they thump, and then you have the others that go, it's okay. All right, you were hungry, all right. You have these two extremes. Well, for this morning's illustration time, I really want you to see and to think that mother who tells her daughter, Madeline, that she has eaten all of her Halloween candy, that this little girl believes it. She believes it, that it's all gone. Mom, after all, never lied. Mom and dad never lied to their children, ever. And so this little girl, she looks up with these innocent eyes and she goes, well, you'll see. Let's watch, and then we're going to stop the clip. I want to talk about it, and then we'll start it again, and we'll keep going back and forth. But Madeline today is going to teach us about God's forgiveness. Watch the first clip.
Tell you something, okay?
Okay.
Mommy got really hungry today, and I don't want you to be sad, but I ate all your candy from Halloween.
You see the sadness in her eyes? Mommy ate all the candy. I don't want you to be sad. When you fall short of God's glory, how do you feel? How do you feel? That was the question I asked. Do you feel anguish? Do you feel remorse? Do you feel like, God, this sin that I've participated in, it separates us. It's come between us. I feel guilty when I'm around you. I need to come to you and I need to make things right. That's us. And this is the mom coming to the daughter saying, I don't want you to feel sad, but I've eaten all your Halloween candy. I like that the mom is asking, how do you feel? Or I don't want you to feel this way. Have you ever thought of what your sin causes God to feel? Is your God, when you have fallen short, is your God angry at you? Does he never want to talk to you? Does he just turn his back on you? Or does he want to say, come, let us talk about this together? Come on, how big is your God? Is God going to have a temper tantrum? Or is he going to want to sit down and talk with you about it and work things out? Because ultimately, he wants you to recognize that sin is a terrible thing, but forgiveness is what he shed his blood for. So think, I'm going to come to God because my heart is heavy and I need to get this off my chest. Yes, but what does God want from you? Is he really sad because you have changed his way of doing things and now the devil has one more point and he has one less point? Is God really that small? Let's look at the next clip here.
Wally, but that makes me really sad.
Are you mad at me?
No. Just sad?
Look. Why does it make you so sad?
It's because you ate all my candy.
But I was really hungry.
You should ate. That makes you a headache.
To eat all the candy?
Yeah.
It did make me feel kind of bad.
But you should drink some water.
You should just drink some water?
Yeah.
Are you so mad at me?
No.
You're not.
I'm just sad.
You're just sad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I think I would have been mad. I'm not mad, I'm just sad. Does God have a right to be sad when we dishonor him? Why? Because he cannot stand seeing you and I in such heartache. He didn't create us to have to say goodbye to our child, to our nephew who just was killed last week. Or when we're scolding our spouse, or we're cheating on this, and we're lying to this, and we're discrediting who God is in our lives. It just must bring him sadness. I'm not mad, I'm just sad. And then did you notice how Madeline just says, no, I'm not mad, I'm just sad. But then she said, Mommy, I love you so much. She didn't say that, but she said it, meant it by this. Mommy, eating too much candy will give you a headache. She's already trying to make things okay. God is already saying, I forgive you. I don't want you to have this guilt. I don't want your heart to be heavy and troubled. My son paid the price. You're all squeaky clean. You've asked me, you've done exactly what I need you to do, and to come and acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you want not to travel down that road again, yes. But come on. Things are okay. And I want to help you with your headache. In fact, I think you, Mom, ought to drink a little water. See, God's anxious to help us through this. You listen how many times Mom keeps saying, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? And Madeline has to keep reminding her, no, I'm not mad. No, I'm not mad. But God's not saying, though, and Madeline's not saying, well, it's okay, don't worry about it. Know that sin is a sorry thing, and it's a serious thing. It's not to be made light of. But when God says he forgives you, what does he do with your sin? He remembers it no more. He throws it to the deepest places of the ocean. As far as the east is from the west, he removes it from his mind. Let's go ahead and watch the next one.
Okay, I'll learn from my mistake then.
Yeah,
well, that's very understanding of you that you're not so mad at me.
Well, I had this today.
But you're not mad at me for your candy?
Yeah, I'm not mad at you. And I also want to tell you, I got some big problems.
Okay, precious little girl. What is she pulling out of her little backpack there? Mom, it's okay. I'm not mad at you. Yes, I'm sad. We've covered that. Now let's move on. Let me show you what more I have to give you and to offer you. This is like God pulling out his instruction manual to say, okay, we've dealt with that sin. You don't need to keep asking me. That's an old topic. That's chapter one. We're into chapter two. Let me show you what plans I have for you. Look at all of this, she says. Also, I want to tell you, I got some big problems. This. No, I'm not mad at you. You hear it over and over and over again. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Let's move on to another topic now. Let yesterday take care of yesterday. Let's work on today. How can we make that never happen again? Okay, let's deal with that. But let's move on, because I don't want you to be wallowing in guilt. And don't you do that sometimes? You just think about all those things that you did as a child. I think sometimes of the terrible things that I said. I called my son Brian one time. I was so angry at him. I don't remember the word I called him, a knucklehead or whatever it might have been. But he had forgotten something in the house, and so I had to do the alarm. And I'd get out of the car, go into the house, and I went and I turned off the alarm. Well, I didn't know that he was right behind me. I said, that stupid knucklehead, whatever he was. He ran back to the car, and he was sobbing. Is only a young boy at that point. I can't put that back. I still feel for that. But God has said, it's okay. And my son said, it's okay. We had prayer about it there in the car, didn't we, before we left. It's okay. I felt so terrible, and I still feel terrible. But God is saying, let's move on with this, okay? Let's talk about this. Okay, let's show the next clip.
Oh my goodness, you don't even care about your candy, do you? Well, that's nice of you. You're okay with it? You're not mad at me?
No, not mad at you. Well, I am kind of mad at you. But I'm not mad at you.
She says, well, because the mom starts off with, oh my goodness, you don't even care about your candy, do you? Well, you're okay with it. You're not mad at me. And then Madeline says, no, I'm not mad at you. Well, I'm kind of mad at you, but I'm not mad at you. Oh, that one hit me hard. God is saying, don't you dare minimize the sin. That sin, I have a right to be mad because it took the life of my precious son. Yeah, Mom, I'm mad. Yeah, God, you have a right to be mad. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, not through his skin, not through his fingernails, not things out here, but the blood, the life-giving blood was spilled. I have a right to be mad. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches of grace. Do you know that God doesn't need to forgive you? Do you know that I don't have to forgive you? Forgiveness is something that we just offer because of grace. You can come to me and ask me till you're blue in the face, Paul, forgive me for what I've done to you. And I could say, no. And certainly the God of the universe that says, I don't have to forgive you. Do you know what your sin, your self-centeredness, your own ego, your stupid choices have done for my son? I don't have to forgive you, but it's forgiveness is me or God or you wiping the slate clean because of grace. Wow, God. But don't you dare minimize the price that it cost, my dear son. Acts 5:30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. This is what it costs. There is no forgiveness of sins without the blood, the spilled blood of my son. So yeah, I'm mad. Oh, not mad, I'm sad, but I'm almost mad because it was a terrible thing that we did. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Is there anything I can do to make it up? No.
Is there anything that you can do? No. There's nothing that we can do. Absolutely nothing that we can do. There isn't a payment. There's not singing in the church choir or serving in the Sabbath school departments or offerings or helping with the children's funds. There's nothing you can do. Wouldn't that be terrible if there was something that you can do? Because some of you might be able to do it and I can't. A song, if religion were a thing that money could buy, the rich would live and the poor would die. That wouldn't be fair. But even if God had a thing that you could do by giving him more servant time or giving more money or participating in it, none of that matters. You can be Mother Teresa. You can be Billy Graham. You can be Ellen White. You can be anyone. Your sins and their sins have fallen completely into the pit of sin. And it's like if you can get over the Grand Canyon, I'll let you go into heaven. Just jump over. If you can run, I don't care if you run for 5 miles. As soon as you get to the edge, jump over the Grand Canyon and I'll let you into heaven. If God had said that, we would all be trying. Even if some of you went 30 feet because you used a pole vault, if you went 30 feet or me with my walker went up and I fell right off, we're both going to fall into the abyss because none of us are going to be able to make it to the other side. It's humanly impossible, and it's impossible for you or I to ever pay the price for what Jesus did. You can't get to the other side. without Jesus offering his forgiveness to you. He's the only one that successfully jumped over to the other side. Show the last one, I believe, the last one, if there is a last one.
No. Just need some time.
Yeah, you can spend some time with me.
Okay. That's how I can make it up to you?
Yeah. Sure you can.
Well, that's very understanding of you. Love you.
I love you.
Now, brothers and sisters, she still doesn't know that Mom was just teasing her. And I love you? Wow. The mom says, you just need some time, and she's not thinking time. But this Madeline says, sure, you can just spend some time with me. Bingo! Right on the nose! Isn't that what Jesus wants? When we have fallen short of his glory, and we come to him and say we're sorry, he'll say, just spend some time with me. Because the more time you spend with me, the less inclined you will be to pick up your own flashlight and you'll follow the beam of my light. Just spend some time with me. Yeah, you can make it up that way, if that's what you want to call it. Doesn't matter. You know, I just want to spend time with you. And the mom says, thank you for forgiving me. I love you. And Madeline says, I love you too. Isn't that what it's all about? When she said, is there anything that I can do? No, you can't jump over the Grand Canyon, but there is something that we can do to help God with this hurting heart. There's something that we can do that will strengthen our heart and to cause us to stay on the straight and narrow and follow his light. There is something we can do. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. There's something you can do, Jeremiah 29, 11 and 14, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. There is something that we can do. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as I, Christ, have forgiven you. We can be imitators of Christ. If we'll spend time with him by beholding, we will become changed and we'll have less of a tendency to follow our own light. We'll be reminded constantly through the ordeals of every day of is this my light or am I following God's light? Which one am I doing right now? Is he speaking through me? Are these his expressions? Are these his hands? Are these his hugs? Is this his pocketbook? Are these his feet? As we spend time with him and desire to be imitators of his goodness, and then going to the Gentiles who do not know of God's forgiveness and the cleansing that we are enjoying of the forgiveness of sins and the hope that we have to spend eternity with him, be imitators of him. That is a way that we can tell him that we're serious about the gift that he's given us. We want to be changed. We do not want to wallow in sin any longer. Well, I thank God for Madeline because she's taught me some lessons, maybe not taught as much as reminded me. And I hope and pray that today you've been reminded as well that the temper tantrums, that's not God. God is more like this little precious girl that the children will lead, the children will teach us, and I have learned from her. And I want to thank God for her. Her name is Madeline Ross. And the mom said that even after she confessed in her little blog, she said, I'm just teasing. It didn't change one bit. She says, oh, that's okay. It didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. Don't take your eyes off the Savior. Don't forget he's close today. Don't look away for a moment. You will surely lose your way. Don't let the world with its riches and its charm come between Jesus and you. Don't take your eyes off the Savior, for he'll safely see you through. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for grace that can be afforded to each one of us because you paid the price of being separated by your Son, having spent those agonizing days before the crucifixion, and then to be separated from your presence the first time, forever, the first time to be separated from your bosom. And Father God, for you to wake him up and to accept his sacrifice on our behalf. Oh, Father God, the love that you have for us and the love your Son has for us, thank you. And so, Father God, as we continue to participate in the affairs of this world until you come and make all things new, Father God, we might fall. We might turn our eyes off of you. We might, in a moment, become so distracted that we do things our way instead of your way, and we might cause pain to ourselves or towards those who you love or to your beautiful creation. And we are so sorry. So may we stay focused on you. May we have your light, your glory illuminate our path. May we spend time in prayer and study. May we be in your presence, and may you change us into the more perfect likeness of your Son, Jesus. This is our prayer. Thank you for forgiving us. Amen.